We're starting from Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Yud Tes. So here's what it says. V'achimat ben tzaduk omar arutzanov avasar esamel kishvatu Hashem yaloivov. So Achimat, the son of tzaduk, said, let me run. I'm going to report to the king, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given him revenge from all of his enemies. Okay, so this is after Avshalom had already been killed, right? Yoav caused him to die over here, right? So Achimat said, I want to be the one to tell him. Son of tzaduk, this is probably the Kohen. V'ayom lo Yoav, Yoav said to him, lo ish b'sayra ta'ayom azay. You should not be the one who bears the news today. We start to be a macher. You should be the one who gives him the news on another day. That should be perfectly fine. You should not be the day that tells the king that his son died, because there's something right over here. Now, it seems right over here, right, that there's a lot that happened over here. Obviously, Achimatz wanted to be the one to tell the king because he felt that anybody else who tells him was going to tell him in the bad way. He wanted to be the one to say something to the king itself. Now, Yoav was worried because he knew that the last time that the king received bad news, like when Bana and Rechav came and told him that, you know, that they had killed Ish-Boshes, or what happened by Shaul HaMelech, it didn't bear well for the guy who was telling the news. Remember, the Ger HaMaleki was killed. Bana and Rechav were killed, right? It could be that this is not the time to be able to say something like this. It is a bittersweet day. So although we want to tell the king that we won the war, it's not the time to tell him that his son has died. That shouldn't be for right now. Let him ask the question and don't answer it. Vayom Yoav Lakushi. So instead, Yoav said to one of the Kushim that were there, one of the servants that were there, the Radak says that this was a Ger. Others say that he was a Jew, but he was called a Cushi because he had darker skin. Others say that he is the one that originally spotted Avshalom hanging from the tree. He was the original soldier. Remember that soldier from before, and that he's good in his deeds because he wouldn't do such a thing, right? Just like a Cushi is distinct in his skin, so too this man was distinct in his deeds, as we've said before, right? And Pirkei Rabbeinu says he's the one who refused to follow Yoav's orders. So he said to him, Lecha gid lemel, go tell the king Asheri Izva Yishtachavu Cushi Leyov Yarot. Go tell the king what you have seen. The Cushi then bowed down to Yoav and then ran. Now listen to what he said. He said, go tell the David HaMelech what you saw. Just say that you saw him hanging from the tree. Don't say that he was killed. Just tell him what you saw. And that's all he said, right, when it came down to it. Yosef and Achimat ben Tzaruk v'yomer al Yoav. Achimat said to Tzaruk, you know, to Achimat ben Tzaruk said to Yoav, v'yima arutzen nagamani. I don't understand. Let me go after as well, chorei kushi, after this man goes. But Yoav, lamazat harutzbini. Why do you want to run, my son? L'cha in besoromotes. You're not the one when you're telling any good news. V'yima arutz. So he said, nonetheless, I'm going to go. Bayomelo, roots, and he said to him, go. So he ran by way of the plain, and he overtook the Cushi right over here. Now, it could be that he ran with a shortcut, right? Because the Cushi did have a head start. But nonetheless, Achimatz eventually caught up with him and went in front. Now, David was sitting between the two gates by the city. He was standing by Yelachat Sofel Gagashar. So the lookout was standing by the gate, right? The rooftop of the gate, Alachoma, right by the wall. But he said, standing, he lifted up his eyes by Arvina Yishrat Levadu. He saw one man running by himself. So the lookout, the outlook, he called out to David HaMelech, and David HaMelech, Levadu B'Sayra B'Fiv. If he's by himself, then he's got news, right? He's got tidings. It's not like the whole army is running back, so it's okay. And he came close. Closer and closer between right over here. Now Chazal say that what it means over here, instead of sha'arim, between the two sha'arim, he was between the two sa'arim. He was between the two pains. He was caught, as they say, between a rock and a hard spot. Right? He said, if Avshalom was victorious, that means I'm going to be killed. If we were victorious, it means Avshalom's going to be killed. He knew something bad was going to happen in this war. He just didn't know what to do with it. By Yarat Sofa, Ishacher Rutz. So the Sofa, the lookout man, saw another man running. By Yikrat Sofa, La Shoer. So he called out to the gatekeeper. But Ish Rutz Levada, do you see this man running by himself? Oh, this man must also be a guy telling news. The first guy looks like Achimatz ben Tzaduk. Now that's amazing. He was able to tell who it was over there without, you know, binoculars. And the king said, Ish Tovze. He's a good man, and therefore this is good news. Achimatz called Avi Yomer HaMelech, and he said to the king, Shalom. And he bowed down to the king in front of his face, or to the ground. Baruch Hashem Elokecha, Baruch Hashem your God, that he has closed off the people, he has delivered the men who raised their hands against the king, that he's right there, and therefore he delivered them. And obviously, right, these people are gone. They were obviously guilty in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You've won the war. You have the kingdom back. Vayomer HaMelech, Shalom HaNarav Shalom. Is there peace to the Narav Shalom? The first thing out of his mouth was, what's with Avshalom? And once he heard that, said, I saw great tumult, right? Somebody trying to send over a servant of the king of Yoav to from Yoav. I don't know what to say. Pretty good, right? He realized that David Melech was really going to get upset. He knew that Yoav now was right. He didn't think he was right before, but now he's looking at him and he's like, I can't say anything. If I say anything, look what's going to happen. But Yomer Melech, so he siatev ko, turn and stand over here. But Yisov Yamotu, he turned and he waited right over there. So that's how the Ralbag says it over here. He was hurriedly, he's trying to avoid the question. He tried to get around it and that. Now the Malbim says, it could be he didn't really know. But it seems very unlikely because Yoav had the conversation with him. You should not be the guy to do this because there are bad news together with this. Seems like that's very unlikely. And Pusik, Lamed Aleph, Lamed Beis, Vinei Kushi, Bala Kushi came. Vyamar Kushi is Basir Adoni HaMelech. And the king, and the Kushi said, may my the king be advised, that Hashem is judged today against all of those who have stood up against you. And the king said to the Kushi, shalom, Narav shalom. Is there shalom for the Narav shalom? And the guy just didn't get it. May all the enemies of my master the king be like that child. And so too, anybody who gets up against you for evil, that's what it should be right over here. Sachimatz immediately said a bracha, right? And how HaKadosh Baruch Hu had delivered, right, everybody into David Melech's hands. The Kushi spoke of vengeance and revenge. He's, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has avenged all of these people against you. And that was something there. And he told them that. Now, interestingly, that's the end of the parak. Now, I know we didn't technically make the prakim, but there is something to the end of a parak. You know, there must be something. I would never have ended the parak there. I would have ended the parak before the news was being told. And the news should be the beginning of parak yotes. But that's not how this goes, which is really interesting. It says, Vayirgizmel, so the king got really upset. Vayal Elias Ashari got up to the area right above the gate. Vayev, he cried, Vecholmar, and this is what he said, Belachtoi. As he was going, he said, Bini Avshalom, Bini Avshalom. Mi Eten Musi Ani Tachtach. If only I would die instead of you, Avshalom. Bini, my son. Avshalom could not control himself. I'm sorry, David HaMelech could not control himself, right? Now, the Radak says he was able to get to a private area before he was able to do anything. So that's why it says, Vayala Elias Ashar, he got away from everybody around there. He stood away from everybody, and that's when he started crying. So he's able to control himself a little bit, and then he's brought himself to a certain place, and he lamented his son's death. The difference is that he spoke loud enough that everybody heard him and what he was doing over here. He was anguished at over Avshalom's death, and he didn't know what to do. Some say he motioned to one of the weapon bearers who struck the Kushi dead. Now, if this was a regular soldier who saw Avshalom and didn't kill him, that's totally unfair, right? But it's possible that it wasn't. It was a regular slave, and therefore he went ahead and did this, and that's the idea behind what happened over here. David's real feeling over here, and the real feeling, says the Ralbag, as to why he was so upset, is because he knew it was because of his own sins. I have sinned, and therefore this happened. Because I did that with Bathsheba, look at the result. Look what happened to Avshalom over here. I wish I would have died instead of you right over there. Now, the Gemara says that by lamenting over and over again and saying Bini, Bini, seven times in the Pasuk, you can see that, Bini, Bini, right, three, four, five, and then Avshalom twice. By saying that seven times, he was able to get him up from the seven levels of Gehenna. So he said again, it's Bini Avshalom, Bini, Bini Avshalom, Avshalom, Bini, Bini. So the seven times for seven out of Gehenna, and the eighth time to bring him into Olam Haba, that he was able to bring him into Gan Eden. Interestingly enough, even though Avshalom obviously did something absolutely horrible, he is not listed among the people who have no chelek in Olam Haba. It sounds like it worked, and that's what the Gemara Sota Yoram Abay says, he actually brought him up from over there. Normally, you have no ability to help your deceased son after he died right over here. But it could be that he was able to help here because Avshalom was the punishment for David HaMelech's sin. So if we understood that, and he said, okay, this is what I'm going to do, maybe that's the power of tefillah as well, that tefillah has the ability to do such things and was able to do it. Okay, that's really, really interesting. Our scroll points out the difference between Aaron and David HaMelech, that Aaron was completely silent, Vayidom Aaron, and David HaMelech, like, was in anguish. Now, we also saw before that he was in very, very dire straits when this happened, when Avshalom died. But think of what he did when Amnon died. He was upset, right? But we don't see anything like this. Think of what happened when the child died, right? When his own child, the little baby, died. Nothing like this. So they told the king, Yoav, listen, the king is crying. He's mourning for Avshalom itself, right? Now again, when Yoav killed Avner, David lamented and Yoav mourned with him. So too right now, the king's great anguish moved Yoav to mourn as well, but not as much. Once this is happening a little bit too much, right, that's when Yoav started to get involved. That victory on that day became mourning for all the people. They all heard saying that the king is sad about his son. So they all slowly went out in a place where they should have been like happy and they won the war and everything's all good. They like slowly but surely stole into the city. You're coming to the city. The way that people that are ashamed when they lose the war come into their city. That's what they did. And the king concealed his face. And he called out with his big voice, Bini Avshalom, Avshalom, Bini, Bini. Oh, right. It's the fact that it says Bini 7-8 times, not the fact that it says Avshalom in those times. Okay, either way, regardless. But he kept crying out and trying to get him to go from one place to the other. That's as if it was wherever there. There were no blasting of the shofar. And, crazy. But Yavo Yoav al Melech Habayis. So Yoav came to the king, to the house that he was staying at. You are embarrassing all the faces of the servants who put their lives on the line for you on this day. You're also embarrassing your other sons and your daughters, as well as your wives, as well as your concubines. You're embarrassing all of them. Remember, Avshalom was with all your concubines and answered them all to you. What in the world are you thinking, though? The fact that you love your enemies, and you hate those who love you. What you're telling all the officers and the servants today is that I know what you're saying is, if only Avshalom were alive and everybody else were dead, then it would be good for you. And that's ridiculous. You can't go that way. He rebuked them. Now, obviously, this is Morid ben Malchus because you're going up against the king. But he said this. He said, you are going to lose your kingdom a second time. Everybody's going to start yelling at you. You can't do this. You have to do it for the people that are with you. If you're not going to have this, how do you think your children are going to feel that they feel so scorned? They didn't rebel against you. And look how you're treating Avshalom right after everything right over here. Aside from that, you expected that the king should avenge the honor of the concubines that were raped by Avshalom back in Yerushalayim. You'd think that something like that would happen. How in the world did you allow this? Says the Abravanel, it sounds like you wanted him to win. That's what it sounds like right now. That's what it seems. Pazachas, va'ato, kum tzevi daber oliv avadecha. Now get up, speak to the hearts of your servants. Hashem nishbati, because I swear by God, ke'encha yotze im yolin ishit ha'alayla. If you don't go out right now, there will not be one person here with you overnight. V'ro lecha zoiz mikol rosha ba'alecha min ar minu recharato. Right? Oh, this is going to be the worst thing that will ever happen to you. From your youth up until now, everyone's going to leave. And this entire time, David's humility, Yoav is calling him out and speaking with brazenness and audacity to him, and Yoav says, and David HaMelech says nothing. He doesn't answer him, he doesn't respond, he just understands it. He says, okay, I have to do that. So the king got up and he sat by the gate, and all the people that were told saying, he's sitting by the gate, and they all came in front of the king, and all of Bnei Yisrael, each man, right, had gone back to their tent before this. Now they all come back. Now they realize that they're going to be there. And that's what was invited. David and Melech came to the gate, and immediately the rumors spread, David's back, David's back! And they all went through. He didn't allow his grief to overtake him. He allowed himself to go, and he stayed composed, and therefore everybody started coming back to him. Then it happened that all of Bnei Yisrael were at odds throughout the Shvatim Yisrael. Listen, they started thinking to themselves, like, wait a second, the king saved us from all of our enemies previously, right? He took us away from the Plishim and all the people around. He took us out from the hands of the Plishim. And now he had to run away from Eretz Yisrael because of Avshalom. Avshalom, Hashem, Ashachnu, Aleinu, Meis, B'mochama, and Avshalom that we had anointed for ourselves, he died in war. That's a lomata macharish and lahashiv elamelech. So why are we being silent about bringing back the king? Like, it was almost as if they were, like, drunk in a drunken stupor, and they, like, woke up from it, and they're just like, what were we thinking? Why did we do this? This was a horrible, horrible idea. So the Malbim says that they understand now that this is not the way to go, that the son, what Avshalom was doing was not l'shem shamayim, he was doing it for the wrong reason. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't let him go. Some people were questioning David's motives. I mean, he did run away, right? Clearly, he wasn't strong enough to fight Avshalom. And the Abarbanel says the other people were like, no, that's not why he ran away. He ran away not because he was a coward. He ran away because he understood that's what needed to be done in this situation, so that he wouldn't kill people. That's what he understood, right? So obviously, there were some ingrates that were around there that were yelling at him, whatever it was, but that's the idea behind it. Now, Vamel David Sholach al Tzarek al Yasser HaKohen Lamor, Dabru al Zikne Yehuda Lamor. The King David, he sent a message to Tzarek al Yasser the Kohanim. He said, speak to the elders of Yehuda, thinking they would be the best people for this job. Lamor, Lamatu Achron in the Hush of Zamelech HaBeso. Why should you be last to bring the king back to his house? Udvarko Yisrael Boel HaMelech HaBeso. And the word of all B'nai Yisrael has come to return to the king to his house. You got to come. Achai. Atem Atmi Uvzari. My brothers, you are my flesh and blood. Atem. Lamatu Achron in the Hush of Zamelech. Why are you the last ones here? I want to be able to make peace and do everything right around there. You guys should be in charge. The article says he didn't want to return to Yerushalayim in a vacuum of power when nobody was in charge. And as if, like, just take over then. He didn't feel that that was proper. But if you return me, then I'm willing to come back. So I'm waiting for you guys to decide what you want to do. If you want to take me back, then I'm willing to come back. Pasuk Yedalev, Vamasa, Tomru, Tel Amasa. Remember, Amasa was his nephew, right? One of his sister's kids. Halo Atzmi V'Sariyata, you are my flesh and blood. Koyas Elokim V'Koyusiv, may God do this to me. And again, add more. Im Lo Sartzavat Yelofanai Kol Yom Tachziyov. You will be a commander of the army in front of me all days, instead of Yoav. He now found out that Yoav had been the one in charge of killing Avshalom, and therefore, because of that, he said, I no longer want him to be my general. He told Amasa, you're going to be my general. That's the idea behind it. Should Amasa decide to oppose David Melech's return and enlist the men of Yehuda to do the same, he told him, listen, you're going to be in my position. So I realize that you are a person of power and you are a person of influence. I'm asking you to do this for me to be able to help me out right over here, and that's that. If you look at the Pasuk in Pasuk Yedalad, do you see it says Tomru, but it's missing an Aleph? See that word? Valamasa Tomru. Yeah. You're missing the Aleph over here. It means almost like this. David's saying this to Amasa was lacking. It's not like he was telling him, you are going to be the one in charge. He's telling him, listen, now that you're going to be in charge, you are going to be agent target number one with a huge bullseye on your back from Yoav. You are on the enemy side. You fought against Yoav and lost. And now he's taking down Yoav in order to put you in charge. You better believe. You better watch yourself. And he warned him what Yoav was going to do. Unfortunately, he did not heed that warning. He won over all the hearts of Yehuda, like all one man. They sent the message to the king, you should return with all of your servants. And he came to the Jordan River, Gilgala, and Yehuda came all the way to Gilgal. That's where Shaul was crowned, so it's significant for that reason. Melech is across Amelech in order to greet the king, to cross him over the Jordan River. Well, good old Shimi ben Gera, the Binyaminite came. Hashem Baruch Hu, he was from Bachurim. By Yered im Ish Yudid Likas Melech David, he came down with the men of Yudah to greet the king David. Ve'elof Yishimo, he had 1,000 men, Binyamin. Betziva Narbeis Shaul, as well as Tziva, the young lad. Well, he wasn't young anymore, but the guy who was in charge of Beis Shaul. Ve'chamesh Zasar Banav, and 15 of his kids. Everybody has 15 kids back then, right? As from Avadav, 20 servants he tow, but Sochol Yarden Levinam Melech, and they crossed hurriedly over the Jordan River in order to greet the king itself. Now, the reason why Shimi had to hurry across the river and not wait for David Melech to come to him, once David Melech comes into Eretz Yisrael, he has the status of a Melech, and a Melech can't be Mochel on his kavod. But if he's still outside of Eretz Yisrael, he could be Mochel on his kavod. So Shimon ben Gera quickly went on the other side of the Jordan River to greet David HaMelech, where he still wasn't king. He had the status of a regular Jew, and therefore he could pardon the offense that Shimon ben Gera had done to him. That was the idea behind it. But not only did he bring that, he also brought Tziva. Perhaps Shimi purposely brought Tziva with him because he knew that Tziva was ingratiated to the king. And he said, I want to bring you along with me so you go through. Maybe that's the idea behind it. Okay, so he brought Tziva. The Avra HaAvara. So they crossed by the ferry, Laveris Beis Melech, in order to bring over to the king's household. The Lasa Tobe Einav, and to do what's favorable in his eyes, do what's good in his eyes. Shimon ben Gera Nafalifnei HaMelech Avro Yarden. As soon as he was crossing the Jordan River, Shimon ben Gera quickly bowed in front of the king. I don't know if this means on the other side of the Jordan River, or if it means right after, or whatever it was, but he did exactly that. Now, it seems like there's a weird way. Instead of saying the ferry boat, right? It seems like people crossed them over, meaning they carried them through the river. I guess it depends on what part of the Jordan River it is. If the Jordan River in that area was super deep, then you use a boat.
Right.
If it wasn't, then you just walk across. But I think back then it was a much bigger river.
No.
Because then it went straight into the Salt Sea, and you don't have all the problems that you have with the Salt Sea today. avon. Do not think of me, of my sin, and do not remember that which I brazenly spoke with you, right, on that day when my master the king went out from Yerushalayim. You should not take it to heart. Because your servant knows I've done an Avera. I came first for all of the people of Yosef, in order to go greet my master the king. Now, weird, Beis Yosef. He's not from Beis Yosef. He's from Binyamin. Right? Why would he say Beis Yosef? So some say that Beis Yosef referred to everybody from Rachel Imenu's household. Right? That's the idea behind it. Or maybe, just like Joseph, Yosef's brothers mistreated him and he treated them with kindness, so you should treat me with kindness even though I messed up right over here. But Rashi's is a really good call. Everyone's listening right now to see how you're going to respond. Because after all, I'm not the only one who rebelled against you. You know that, right? Most of you would have rebelled against you, and many people in the rest of Klal Yisrael. So they're all looking to you to see what you're going to do in my situation. Are you going to give me something good or not? If you are, then everybody's going to be like, oh, phew, I'll be able to come back. Otherwise, you might see another uprising. There might be something bad over here as well.
Rashi seems to say that Beis Yosef was, he's Shimon Geras representing the whole Jewish population.
Yeah, it could be. It's just weird that he was chosen. But yes, it very well could be.
And right, to your point that. Of listening, it's like Rashi says, like, basically Shimon Geras is a representative. However he reacts to Shimon Geras, whether he forgives him or not, is how he's going to react to all of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly it. That's what Rashi says, right? And that's what you expect from right over here. Now, how do you get around the fact that he made fun of him, right, and screamed at him and called him a noef and a rotseach and everything like that? Well, the answer is that the truth is he wasn't a melech at the time. When he was fleeing from Avshalom, it could be that he didn't have the status of a king, and therefore there is a way to be mochel what ended up happening to
him. How could he not be the melech? Avshalom still wasn't anointed, and he's no longer a threat.
It's very, very possible. I would assume that at the time when he was running away, he abdicated the throne, and therefore it was considered as if he no longer was a king. Maybe abdicating the throne is enough for something like that, or at least temporarily abdicating the throne. But I don't know. I don't know how it would be. Talmud Yerushalmi says that that's the pshat of here. A leader who does averos can be taken away from his post and not reinstated. So maybe David Mel thought it was my Avera of Bathsheba that caused me to lose my kingdom. So maybe he never thought he was going to be able to be brought back. Maybe. But I can't tell you that for sure. Posukal Bez, Vayana Visha Ben Tsuavi Yomar Hasacha Zosul Yumas Shimi Kikilos Mashiach Hashem. Then Avisha ben Tsuri answered and says, "Whoa, this guy, do you think we shouldn't kill Shimi ben Gera? He cursed out the anointed one of God. You better believe we're killing this guy. There's no way we're going to accept this apology." They went up, "Maliva lachem ben Tsuri, what's with me and you, sons of Tsuri? Kisuli ayom lesatan, hayom yumas ish bi Yisrael." Right? You're going to be an adversary for me? You're going to put a Jewish man to death on this day? I know that I'm the king over Israel now. You're not going to die. And he swore to him that he wasn't going to die, and there's no issue whatsoever. It's absolutely crazy whatsoever. I guess you can say, today I'm king over Israel, because that happened a way time before. Remember how long we said that David Melech had run away from Avshalom? 6 months had passed since that time. So he said, today, I'm the king over Israel. 6 months ago, you're right, I should have put him to death. Right? I could have. But I wasn't going to. I wasn't going to be that. The Medrash says, Shimon ben Gera had not yet given birth to Mordechai. And because he hadn't given birth to Mordechai yet, David Melech felt, well, it wasn't Mordechai directly, but great-great-great-grandfather, whatever it is. He said, I can't kill him now, because there's somebody special who's going to come from him, so I'm not going to do it whatsoever. So that's that. And the second thing is that, if I kill Shimi ben Gera, he's right. The other people are going to look at me and say, oh my gosh, what did he just do? I know I'm king over Israel, but it's still it's a tenuous hold. I don't know how long I'm going to be able to hold on to it. Therefore, I'm not going to sentence anyone to death on the day that I was actually made king. That's how the Malbim puts it right over here, right? And that's that. And the Abarbanel says, I'd have to judge the case fully for Shimi ben Gera and see what he said and how he said it, whenever it is. I don't have time for that. Pasukov, hey, Umifi Boshes ben Shol, Yorad Likras, Amelech, Mifi Boshes, the son of Shol, went down to greet the king, but also Raglov. He had not done his toenails. V'lost a shvamo, he had not shaved his mustache. V'es begad v'lochibes, he had not washed his clothing. And yom leches amelech ad yom asher ba b'shalom, from the day that the king had left until the day that he came back in peace. That's Adibah. This is Mephibosheth, the son of Shaul HaMelech, who was his Rebbe, as we talked about before. And he was obviously in mourning for what had happened to David HaMelech. When he came to Yerushalayim, the king of Yerushalayim, to greet the king, Mephibosheth, why didn't you walk with me? What happened to you? Why weren't you with me the whole time? We heard about what Tziva said. What did you do? He said, my master, the king, my servant, he lied to me. Your servant said, I will make a donkey, right? But Erica will ride on it, and I'll go with the king because you know I'm lame, right? And then your servant, right, obviously referring to Tziva, slandered me to my master the king. My master the king was like a malach of a kodesh baruch hu. Do whatever is good in your eyes. There's a hint. You cannot be makabel lashon hara. Doing such a thing, there's no way that you could be makabel this. You're a malach of kim. You can't listen to what he said. Because truth is, my whole household is chayiv misa to my master the king. And then you allowed me to eat at your table. What further right do I have that I can cry and scream to the king right over here? There's no way that I can possibly do it. Possibly he's also referring to his father, Yehonasan, right? That Yehonasan was, he got up and he said, you should remember Yehonasan, you should remember what my father said, that you should protect me. Why do you still speak your words? I said that you and Tziva should split the field. He could take all of it. Since you have come home, right, in peace into your house itself. Now this is weird. What does that mean? What does that mean? But did he believe Tziva or not? If he believed Tziva, right, then why did he give Mephibosheth anything? He should have put him to death. If he didn't believe Tziva, he should give Mephibosheth everyone. If he had a suffix, then check it out a little bit further. Right, you're just making a rash decision all of a sudden in such a way that, isn't that super strange? So an answer that's brought, right, is that Mephibosheth spoke harshly. He may have had a good point, right? How could you believe Tziva? Don't you realize what he did to me? And I'm obviously lame. But he spoke in such a way where he spoke to the king and he's like, come on, you didn't realize that? What are you, an idiot? And because he said it in such a way to the king, he didn't speak in such a way, Mephibosheth is renamed Merival, who started a fight with the king. And when he did that, the king believed him and yet did not want to give him everything because he said, you can't speak that way to me, and therefore split it between him and Tziva. That's the idea behind it, of what happened over here and why he split it between them. But unfortunately, there was a bad thing that came with it, right? The Shabbos Nun Vav Amaral says in the name of Rabbi Yudah Amarav, as soon as he said that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered back, then Rechavam is going to split the kingdom with him and Yeravam. Because you accepted Tziva's Lashon Hara at first, that's going to be the result. And the result is going to be something that's really, really sad of what's going to happen right over there. Okay. Technically, the Abravanel said that Mephibosheth had another problem. David's like, I believe you, but it's been 6 months. It's like, at a certain point, you should have came to me on a donkey. At a certain point, you should have realized what had happened over there. And once the conspiracy had ended, take a donkey and ride over with Tziva. You know Tziva was there. You don't have a problem. You can't find one servant to help you? Don't give me that. That's what he told Mephibosheth. Like, clearly, something is wrong with this story, and I think it's you. By the way, it would be awesome if he was right. And Mephibosheth was like, I kind of had the thought. Like, either way. Pazig Lamed Bez. Barzilai Giladi Yad Meroglin. So Barzilai Giladi came down from Roglin. Vayavor Zamelech HaYarden. He crossed over the Jordan River. L'shalcho Es HaYarden. To send him over there, to accompany, I guess, over the Yarden itself. Barzilai Zakimod. He was very old. Ben Shimon Hashem, he was 80 years old. V'chol Kilkel Zamelech B'Shivosei. B'Shivosei Machanoim. He had provided, you know, Pernosa for the king when the king had stayed in Machanoim. Ki Yishgadol Meod. Because he was very wealthy. But Yomer Amelcha Barzilai, Ata Avor Iti, you should come with me, the Chelkalti Oscha Imadi Yerushalayim, and I will support you together with me in Yerushalayim. Right, and that's the idea behind it. Now, two things right over here. Number one, he says right over here that he was very advanced here. Zokin Ma'od. By the end of the year, at the end of the day, he was only 80. I mean, yes, 80 is old, right? And Baruch Hashem, you live to 80, you should be thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu every single day of your life. But Zakin Me'od, he was Zakin. You know what I'm saying? That's not Zakin Me'od. Chazal said that he led a very promiscuous wife. And he had a worn out body of a man 20 years his seniors. And he died before his time. He was very promiscuous. And he had a lot of wives. And he, because he was quite often with them over and over and over again, therefore he lost his koach. And he acted like he was 130 years old, even though he was only, so to speak, 80 years old. Okay, Vayomar Barzilai, how long am I going to live? He said, I should go back with the king of Yerushalayim. Ben Shmonim Anochi, Yoshana Anochi, I'm 80 years old today. Happy birthday. Ha'ida Ben Tov, Lorad, you think I know any difference in good food and bad food? You need to know after Chaz Hashar Ochal, if I taste something, whatever, Ha'ivas, Sharesha, what I drink. Imashma Od Bekol Sharim Visharos, you think I can hear the songs of the singers out there? Lomi Yavdecha Od Lamasa Olin Yamelech, why should I continue to be a burden from a master of the king, right? He said, I'm no longer capable of clear thinking. I can't give wise eights over here. I have no purpose, of getting physical pleasures. What am I possibly going to get over here? So Chazal say, halavai, you can still eat, drink, see everything when you get much older. That is a tremendous, tremendous bracha. So the Malbim says he gave him two rewards over here. So let's see what the rewards are. In Pasuk Lamed Zayin, it says, Kimat Yavur Avdecha Yarden as a melech. I was just able to cross over the Jordan River with a king. Lami Yigmalini Amelech Hagmul Azos. Why should I get any more reward than that? Yavshana Avdecha Amus Be'iri. Let me go home and die in my city in Kever Avi Be'imi with the cover of my father and my mother. V'ni Avdecha Mechimham Yavur Avdecha. And then your servant, Kimham, my son, he should go with my master, the king. And you do to him whatever is good in your eyes. And that's good. That should be perfectly fine and shouldn't be any issue whatsoever, which is interesting, by the way. Halachically, we do paskin from right over here that it's much better to be buried in your own burial spot close to your house. That's the best place to go. Right? You can't do that for whatever reason. Then you're allowed to go elsewhere. But if you can, be buried near it.
Go to Israel?
Israel might be different. Question is really like Waldheim. Something like that, or you get buried in the middle of Iowa when you're from Chicago, something like that. That would be a problem. Right? And the king said, Iti Yavar Kimam. Kimam will come with me. Vani Estalo Sidomenech, and I'll do what's good in your eyes. V'choshar Tifchar Alai Estalach. Everything that you choose for me to do, I will do for you. V'yavar Kolam, Esiyarim, V'amelech Ovar. So Kimam said, okay, Kim will come with me. I'll do whatever it is, right? So he said, all the people went over the Jordan River. The king went over. The king hugged Barzilai, kissed him, right? Blessed him. And then he turned him back and said, that's that. Perhaps Barzilai told him exactly where to go. Okay. So he went to Gilgal. The Kimhan of Arimo. Kimhan went with him. Interesting, by the way. In the previous pasuk, his name was Kimham. Over here, he's known as Kimhan. In fact, wait, am I right about this? The three times he's been mentioned, his name is different every time. The first time in Pasuk Lamed Ches, it's Chimham. In Pasuk Mem, it's Kimham. Yeah, Kimham. And in Pasuk Mem Aleph, it's Chimhan. It's interesting that it keeps changing. All the people that the Yisrael were coming to the king. Right, Achinu Bnei Ish Yehuda. Why are our brothers, the children of Yehuda, why have they stolen you? And they came away with everybody else. They stole you away, crossing over the Jordan River. Now remember, if you remember, David HaMelech asked for them to come for him. He said, the Zakenim of Yehuda should be the ones that come for me. Right, but they said, this doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Only Yehuda and 1,000 men from Binyamin and a few from the other Shvatim, says the Abraham and other that came with. So the majority of Bnei Yisrael said, that's not fair to us. Why can't we go? Now technically, it was their fault. Hurry over. But maybe they said, we didn't have enough time. We tried to come over, we just didn't know. My uncle is Yehuda al Yisrael. The men of Yehuda said to the men of Israel, Kikarov HaMelech Eli, what do you mean? The king's close to me. Why are you upset about this? Have we eaten food provided for the king? Has he favored us with pardon over here? First of all, he's our relative. Of course we're going to stay here. It just makes a lot of sense. Number two, you didn't seem so pleased about David HaMelech's return. We are. Number three, where are the presents that you had over here? Did you give any presents back to the king? We did, right? And that's that. And for that, Bnei Yisrael wasn't sure if David HaMelech had ever really pardoned them. So, Pasuk Mem Dalav, Yan Ish Yisrael's Ish Yehuda, the men of Yisrael, answer the men of Yehuda, Vayomer, Aser Yados Li B'Melech, V'Gam B'David Ani Mimcha. So, We have 10 portions of the king. We are more loyal to David than you are. Madua hakilosi. Why are you arguing? Hakilosani. Why are you making light of us? Why are you arguing with us? Below hayadvari rishon li lahashvis malki. Right? Our word was first when we said we wanted to bring the king back. And the response of the people of Judah was more severe, was harsher than that of Bnei Yisrael. So that was that. It seems kind of weird. And he said, Esther Yadol's Levi Melech, I'm 10 times greater than you when it comes to the king. Maybe he meant because there are 10 other tribes, right, that are out there, right? And therefore, we're in charge more than everybody else. And that's the idea behind it. It is really, really strange. But Judah said, look, we got more of a right to the king than you do, so we're keeping the king, and you guys do whatever you want to do. Right? And that's what happened. Now, then comes Parakal. And this Parak clearly is a continuation of what we were saying before. Because up until now, they saw the people of Yehuda were upset. And Bnei Yehuda, the people of Yisrael were upset. The Bnei Yehuda argued with them. Do you see what David Melech responded? What did David Melech respond? Zero. So immediately they started saying, you know what? Maybe we don't have any chelek. Bisham nikra ish belial. There happened to be in that area an evil man. Shmoshev mebichi is Shmoshev mebichi ish yemini a man of Binyamin. Yiskav shofri blew on the shofri yomar ein lanu chelek b'David. You know what? We don't have a chelek in David. V'lo nechal lanu b'vein yishai. We have no inheritance in Ben Yishai. Yisrael of Yisrael. Each man go back to his tent. That's what you have right over here. Now, he must have recognized this as a good opportunity. He saw that there was infighting within Bnei Yisrael, and he saw maybe there would be something good there. He also saw that there probably was going to be bad blood between Yoav and Amasa. After Amasa had been made general of the army, Yoav for sure wasn't going to take that sitting down. He's not going to let that happen. That's obviously going to be there. He also could have relied on the Nevuah of Nasan. Nasan obviously said a man who's going to get up against David HaMelech, right? Maybe it wasn't Avshalom. Maybe it's somebody else, right? Maybe it's referring to him, right? And that's that. It could be that Sheva ben Bichri was also felt that his name was a sign. Bas Sheva, and his name was Sheva. So maybe that's the idea behind it. In other ways of looking at it, the Miyamla way says, Sheva ben Bichri was one of the 1,000 men that Shimon ben Gera brought to be with David HaMelech, to bring him back to Yerushalayim itself. And he came with, right, and then saw what he was able to see and ended up coming back. Mari Kara says he's been waiting for this moment for way too long. He knew he was from Binyamin and he wanted to bring the Malchus back to Binyamin. It could even be that Sheva ben Bichri was from the family, right, of Shaul HaMelech himself. That very well could be as well. Although Chazal say that he was the son, he was really Nevat. Yeravam ben Nevat was Yeravam, the son of Sheva ben Bichri. If that's true, then he wasn't from Binyamin at all. Even though it says Benyamini, maybe it meant that he was a right-handed man in war, but he really was from Shevet Ephraim. That's the idea behind it. One cool thing that mentions over here as well is that he said, in Koheles, he suggests that the challenge to the house of David, to base David that eventually divided the monarchy, was originally destined to be right now. Sheva ben Bichri was going to become the king of the rest of Klal Yisrael. But because, right, it was delayed until after the Beis HaMikdash was built, so that some of Bnei Yisrael would still have part of the Beis HaMikdash, it was delayed until after that, right over there. Interesting, the Tikkun Sofrim says, in the original Sfarim, it didn't say Lo'oha Love to his tent, it says Le'lohav to their own gods. Sheva ben Bichri was an anarchist, and he didn't believe that they needed a king, he didn't believe that you need to believe in God in order for things to happen well. He said, Ish le lo hav. Everybody should go back against their own God. So it says in Bazbez, by Yaakul Yishiswami Yachri David, they all went back from behind David Achri Sheva ben Bichri, and then went behind Sheva ben Bichri. The Ish, can you imagine this? Like the fickleness of the people, they're just like, now we're after Sheva. Like, what had happened one after the other? It says, it went after Sheva ben Bichri, the Ish Yehuda, Dabku ben Malcolm, meaning the Yard of Yerushalayim. But the men of Yehuda, they stayed with David HaMelech, their king, from Jordan River all the way to Yerushalayim itself. And that's what happened right over there. Okay, and that's where the Radak says that it must be that they were upset at Yehuda, what they had done. But Yehuda, David HaBeis of Yerushalayim, and David came back to his house, Yerushalayim, Yikach HaMelech, Zesu Noshim, Pelag Shem Asher, Ayniach, Lishmor HaBayis. So David HaMelech felt that the most important thing that he had to do, even though Sheva ben Bichri was rebelling, the most important thing that he had to do over here is take care of the concubines, the 10 concubines that he had left to watch over the house. He didn't base mishmeres. He put them in a safety house. And he supported them. But he would not be together with them ever again. They were tied up till the end of their life. Alive, but widows of the living. And the reason why he felt that way was one of two different ways. And Yerushalmi in Sanhedrin, Beis Gimel, says either number one, he astered them and said to them that you're no longer mutter to me because Avshalom took you, right? And Avshalom was together with you. I cannot marry a woman or be together with a woman that was violated by a commoner, right? So even though it's my son, and a person can, in theory, Mifutas Beno or Anusas Beno, somebody who was raped by his son, in theory, you could be together with them. That's a Gemara in Yavamas on Tzadi Vav, Mishnah, I think, on Tzadi Vav. Right, there is a little bit of a problem right over there. Regardless, the Chochmei Kisrin said that he wasn't allowed to be with them because Avshalom was together with them, and he was a commoner, David Melech was a king, so therefore it wouldn't count. Rabbi Yudan argues, though, and he says that they were absolutely permitted. He stayed away from them as an act of tshuva. Right, an act of tshuva. He knew, right, that the reason why he was why this all happened was because of Batsheva. So he said, I'm going to be able to look at you. I'll see your beauty, but I'm going to control my Yitzhara and I'm not going to be together with you ever again. So he's never ushered to them. He just kept them and was never together with them ever again, and that's that. It could be that Abarbanel says that he purposely did this and showed everybody that he didn't want to marry them because he wanted to show everyone that the concubines that were taken by somebody else don't count as anything, which means Avshalom is not a king at all. He never had the status of a king. And if that's true, Kol Shekin by Sheva Mebichri. Sheva Mebichri is absolutely nothing, right? They're just like that. According to the Medrash, they remained in isolation for the rest of their lives. Their faces were covered by a veil until the day they died. Why that happened to them and why that was allowed and what happens with this, we don't know. Because we don't understand the concept of Elijah in the first place. We don't understand the concept of marrying more than one wife in the first place. So for us to say, well, that's not fair. What do these women do? I don't know. Maybe they were part of the plan with Avshalom. Maybe there was something that they had done wrong. We have absolutely no idea. Literally no idea. It does sound like that David Melech did blame them a little bit.
Is a representation of him taking back his kingdom.
But if they were taken by a hedyot, he couldn't. That's the Shiloh. That's the Shiloh in the Yerushalmi. B'yom Melech Amasa, the king then said to Amasa, the second thing he did, Hazak please teach you to gather me together, the men of Yudah, Shloshes Yom for 3 days. V'atapo Amod, then come back here and stand with me. Okay? V'yelech Amasa, l'hazak is Yehuda, v'yocher min amoed asher yado. But it took him longer than the set time that he had made. It took him longer to get there than it was right over there. Okay, so again, the reason why Amasa was chosen, not Yoav, is because he was still angry with what Yoav had done against Avshalom. So he said that Amasa was going to be in charge more than anything else. He didn't want to do anything to Yoav while there was still Bissimcha because of his triumphant return. But now that he was returned, now says the Abarbanel he was doing this. So what happened? Why would Amasa have delayed this? It's like a bad thing to do, especially after you were part of the revolt in the first place. Why did he do this? So the Gemara Yavam and stuff, I'm sorry, Sanhedrin, Mem Testament Aleph says, then Amasa tried to do it, but he couldn't gather them together because they were all sitting and learning, and he didn't want to interrupt them. So, but didn't the king tell him to do that? So the halacha is that if you, it says by Yoshua, any man that rebels against you will die. But he uses the word ach, so there's an exclusion. Says the Gemara Sanhedrin, the exclusion is if they're learning Torah, then you don't have to disturb their Torah. Not ach, I think it's rock. Either way, but then if they're learning Torah, they don't have to be invited over to go to war. So Amasa waited for them to finish whatever sugi they were on and then left with them. And it took him a little bit longer, and that's why he didn't come back to the city in time. But Yomar David Avishai, David said to Avishai, again, he didn't trust Yoav, you can see it. Ata Yerulanu Shevet Ben Bichri and Avshalom. Now Shevet Ben Bichri is going to be worse than Avshalom. Because look, I don't know what happened to Amasa. Maybe Amasa joined his side as well. Maybe he took some of the Yehuda guys. So, Ata Kachas Abdi Adonecha, take the servants of your master. Rudov Achurav, run after Shevet Ben Bichri, Pen Matzalo, Aron Bitzuros. Maybe he's going to find some fortified cities, Yitzil Einenu, and he's going to, you know, be, I guess, evade our search, and he's going to get away. Vayetu Achurav Anshi Yoav, the men of Yoav went, Vakriz Vaplesi, as well as all the Sanhedrin, Mechol Giborin, all the strong men they had, Yetu Yushalim, Lodov Achurav, Shevet Ben Bichri. They all left Yushalim to go after Shevet Ben Bichri. Now, if anybody wanted to start a fight with David HaMelech or commit, you know, kill him, this was the time. He had no one left with him in Yerushalayim. Right. He sent away everybody, and all the other warriors were with Amasa. Had anyone known, he could have been killed right there at that moment. And that's what's happening over here. Obviously, we already said, we didn't know what Amasa's plan was. He didn't know what Amasa's plan was. He didn't know why he wasn't coming over here. He was scared regarding whatever it was, and that's that. Okay, and that's that. Haim Ima Evan Agadola, the Asher B'Givon, they were standing by the big stone that was by Givon, Vamasa Bolifnim, and then Amasa came in the other direction. Now, Yoav, Chagamita Levushai, he was wearing his clothing to go to war. He no longer was a general, so he acted as one of the regular soldiers in the war of Allah, Chagor Charet. He had on him a belt of a sword, Mitzumetis Almasa Betara. It was sitting fastened to his waist in a sheath, Vuyatavatipol. And as he went out, it fell. Okay, so now that's the idea behind it. There is a kasha. Was Amasa rebelling against the throne? Yoav claimed, yes, that he was rebelling against the throne by not listening to David HaMelech. Benio Ben Yoda claimed no. He does have the right drush, and he did wait for them to finish learning, and therefore that was mutter, so it's not considered a bad thing whatsoever. In one way, you could say that this whole pasuk is trying to tell you that Yoav was just a regular man at this time. But others say that no, he specifically put on his armor in a way where the belt had a sword in its sheath in the wrong way. The sword was fastened to his waist in a weird way where it could fall out. He could grab it, right, and make it easier for him to grab it with the other arm, and nobody would know what's happening right over here. The word Mido is mentioned in two places in Tanakh, one over here and two regarding the Kohanim when they did the service in the Beis HaMikdash. And the pshat is, just like when you're serving in the Beis HaMikdash, you have to do it L'Shem Shemayim, so too the Jewish nation has to do things L'Shem Shemayim. And just like you need people davening, when the Kohanim do their thing in the Avodah, they were able to be victorious in war. The Igret HaKalos is referred to the Midos of a person, etc. But Yomer Yoav La'Masa, Shalom Atochi, is there peace with you, my brother? And remember, Yoav and Amasa are cousins, first cousins. Both were sons of different sisters of David and Melech, right? One was the daughter of Tzruya, Yoav ben Tzruya, right? And Amasa was the son of Abigail, right? I think that's what her name was. But Tochaz Yad Yamin Yoav Bizkan Amasa, right? Lin Shaklo. And the right hand of Yoav went to grab Amasa's beard to kiss him. So Amasa wasn't worried, even though he's told by David Melech he should worry about Yoav, but his right hand was right there. What do I have to worry about? Anything about Masal and Nishmar Becharish Rabbi Yad Yoav? He didn't worry about the sword that was in the Yoav because his right hand was right there. But Yoav, what did he do with his belt thing? He let the sword fall out as he leaned over, grabbed it with his left hand, and he hit him right there in the fifth rib. Right, his guts spilled out onto the ground, and he did not have to do it again. Vayamos, and he immediately died. The Yoav Avishai Achiv Radav Achor Yishev Ben Bichri. Then Yoav and Avishai's brother ran after Avishai Yishev Ben Bichri. Some say that Amasa was 100% negligent at this point. You know what Yoav's like. Stay as far away from him as possible. He's killed Avner. He clearly wants to go up against you. This is not a good idea. I agreed. But he killed Abner, he killed Abshalom. You know what he's like. What are you thinking? Should have suspected, and nonetheless. Now, we already said with the left hand, right, that was happening over there, and that's the idea behind it. Originally, Yoav despised Amasa for replacing him right over there. But there was an issue of Lashon Hara, right? Since what had happened was somebody went up to Yoav and told him, I heard Amasa is the general now and not you. And because that happened, Yoav was upset and jealous, and that's the reason why this whole thing happened. Had he not done that, the things would have been okay. But he said it in the wrong way, and that's a problem. Midrash says that crazy. Just like he did by Avner, Yoav went up to Amasa and said, what's the halacha if you want to present a get with an amputee who has no hands? What do you do at that point? Remember about chalitza, if you don't have any hands, yeah, what do you do? Here's what about a get. And Amasa said, oh, you can still extend your hip. And as he did that, that's when Yoav killed him. And that's that. What were you going to say?
Technically, can't you just throw it in his presence? Like if you throw it in his chutzah.
Into her chutzah, right. That does count as long as he has the ability to do it, but he has no ability to throw. He has no hands.
Can't he designate somebody?
Yeah, he could actually. But if he wants to do it himself. It's interesting. Amasa was a leading Torah scholar. We already mentioned the Yisra HaYisraeli is the one that said Moav v'mo Moavis, Amav lo Amonis. Amasa may have been the person who was also involved with all this, and he did stand up against Shaul HaMelech not to kill Novir Kohana. If you remember, Amasa said no, along with Avner. So it could be that that's part of it, that he said Moav v'mo Moavis. I don't know how that's true, though, because if Amasa really said that, Amasa was the son of David's sister. So he was no Gaya Badover if you couldn't marry a Moavia woman. So that is a little bit strange. Be'ish Amar Lo Minara Yoav. Now there are a man from one of the young men of Yoav, the young lads of Yoav. He stood there. Vayomer, Mi Asher Kovetz B'Yoav, Mi Asher L'David Achor Yoav. Anybody who desires Yoav or anybody who wants David HaMelech, go after Yoav. He knew that if people looked at Amasa's body in the middle of the street, it was going to be horrible. They're going to be like, who did this? And they're going to go crazy, realize it was Yoav, and start a civil war. So he quickly said, I don't care who you're for, David or Yoav, go after Yoav. Because Yoav's in charge now. V'amasa miskolo badam. Amasa was rolling in his blood, b'socha masil, in the middle of the road. V'yara ish ki amad kol ha'am. And the man saw that everybody was standing there waiting. V'yasa z'amasa min masil. So he had to pull Amasa's body from the path, hasada, into the fields. V'yashla begin, he threw a begin on top of Gashar ro'a kol ha'bal of amad. Right? When everybody was seeing him, they stopped. They were shocked. They're like, who did this? They thought that somebody in their midst was something wrong. They didn't understand what was happening. Yoav's still running after the enemy. But We just had our general killed. The commander-in-chief was killed. They had no idea what was going on. The Radak says they were so confused, he covered up something. And this entire time, when told what happened, David remained silent. Once again, he could not say anything when Yoav was even put in charge. It was a time of a crisis, and he wasn't sure exactly what to do in such a situation was going to be right over there. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Kasher Hoyga Min Mesila. Oh, we got to stop right there. Okay, we'll stop right there. All right, Shkai. We're up to Parakov, Pasuk Yud Gimel.